Welcome to Musketeers. I am Matt.
I am Richard.
And we riff on things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest.
That's right.
Movies, DVDs, TV, video games.
New England, Jacksonville football.
That's, you know, with the first quarter about to end, then a score of 0-0, I'm not sure it's captured my interest.
I hear you.
Okay, so I didn't see any movies in the theater this week. Well, I take that back. My wife and I saw Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah, you saw it a second time.
Had she
seen it the first time?
No, she had been mildly interested in seeing it, and she was in the mood and did it coming home from work. I really liked that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, just really, there's a couple beats that don't really work, and the only reason they stick out is because the rest of the movie is so good.
Did it feel slow in the middle the second time, or did now no. that you know what's going on, it seemed to bounce
no,
right along?
Not at all.
Huh.
Not at all. So, just really enjoyed it. She was underwhelmed. I was really surprised.
Really?
She missed the hokey, stupid violence.
Wow.
And I'm kind of like, honey, what are you talking about? That's what's wrong with James Bond movies.
But the irony is, as we're the intelligentsia, we love all that. But the simple fact, and this movie's doing great, and internationally it'll be the biggest one ever. But it's important to note that the other movies did unbelievably well, too. The ones we hated made a mint with that stupid stuff. So even though we and critics love it, the audiences were not in any way, shape, or form saying we hate that movie. Just us elite audiences, kind of. Oh, and I don't mean to say that like we're some elite people, but you know, that the snobbish people. That said, you know, fortunately, a lot of the people like the old one, like the new one, too.
Yeah, so that was... And interestingly, last night, Spike TV is doing a marathon or something, and we saw bits of Diamonds Are Forever.
Yep.
And I haven't seen... It's been a while since I've seen the older school Bond films,
yep.
just because I watched them a lot when I was younger. And God, you forget how bad either some of them were or parts of some of them were.
Yeah.
Just like... And not even just the stuff that dates, but like some of the... There were some camera moves in here, like some zooms, and you're just like, oh my God, I wouldn't do that in a video I made.
I know. Well, it's like, I look at him, I respect him a great deal, the Sean Connery ones, but to me, I look at him as a total time capsule, because it's hard for me to rave about him, because there's so much that is so clearly of the time, but I still love Sean Connery, but it's hard for me to look at him as anything more than much of a time capsule, although there's certain, I mean, I love him, but it's in the context of what they, of the time.
I also borrowed and watched Thank You for Smoking.
What'd you think of that?
Very good movie.
Yeah.
When it was over, my wife was like, that's it? Because
really?
It's 90 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
very, very quick movie. It really did snaps along.
But really interesting, and certainly Aaron Eckhart is amazing.
Yeah.
He does a fantastic job.
He's so good in that role.
Of playing this character, which is a lobbyist for the tobacco industry. And, you know, throughout the course of the movie, you know, they keep talking about, why do you do this? Why are you doing this evil, evil thing? And he says, you know, it's a combination of got to pay the mortgage, and I'm good at talking and arguing and debating. And this is where I'm good. And certainly sympathetic and just very...
I thought it was amazing, because he clearly played a guy. I mean, you totally believed him, and he is essentially the absolute scum of the earth. And he doesn't downplay that, but you end up feeling like you completely understand him and have sympathy for this guy. It's an amazing performance, and I totally underrated. I mean, people like the movie, but to me, it's like one of the very best performances of the year. He was just remarkably great in that movie. And then there was so much goofy little funny thing in that movie. Like Rob Lowe was so damn funny.
I was just going to bring up the Hollywood bit. And to some degree, as his assistant is bringing them through the building to meet Rob Lowe, you're like, they're laying it on a little thick here. But you know, at the same time, everyone that's ever made a about Hollywood or this is what it's like to meet agents or meet superstars, you end up always feeling that way.
Yeah.
And so it can't be overplayed. That must be how some of these people really are. And you're just like, oh my goodness.
And then when they cut to the shot of him wearing the giant ceremonial kimono, it was so funny.
And I also really enjoyed when they were introducing Bill Macy's character, the senator from Vermont.
Yep.
And there's this one little cut scene of him wearing Birkenstocks, and he's sort of not dangling his feet, but they're like up on a bar underneath his desk, and he's kind of like you know, he's angling them over the bar.
Yeah.
And that one little cut scene I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's part of, you know, you're getting the feel for this character in a couple of quick beats. Yep. And that beat was perfect. And I thought, wow, this is good filmmaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was saying, like I told you before, I hate like filmmakers that are relatives of others because damn them. How dare they? They obviously have all the connections. Clearly this Jason Reitman.
Yeah, you're right. Ivan
Reitman's son clearly is a good filmmaker, and in many, many respects, clearly way better than his dad, because his dad hasn't put a good movie out for 10 years. But yeah, great movie.
And then there were some trailers that were out this week. The new full-length Transformers trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. I think I had kind of the reaction that is a Wells or somebody had, where it was half great and half not so great, you know?
I didn't see any reaction to it.
That said, looking at it, I'm going, wow. When everybody said they're making a Transformers movie, it sounded like the stupidest idea ever. Because like a lot of people, I mean, you may have watched it, you know, the theme song and all this stuff, but what? A movie or whatever? And it's looking at it, I'm going, wow, this is clearly a great subject for a movie and a Michael Bay movie. And then there's the one scene of this giant Transformer monster chasing these four guys, just a snippet, and you're going, wow, if that portends to what this movie's going to look like, this will be great. My only concern was, the thing I hate is when you do a transformation cheat. The thing about Transformers that I liked was it wasn't morphing, it was transforming. It was
right.
Turning.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And to some extent they were doing it, to some extent they were cheating, where all of a sudden some new skin comes up, and I'm going, that's not transforming, that's just taking one thing and then taking
morphing is a great word. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's great.
Yeah. So I hope they limit that and make it look to some extent like they're transforming. And a lot of the things they clearly did, you saw like a car turning and the wheels becoming. And so anyway, I'm watching that. It goes, yep, I'll be there opening day.
Very intriguing, pretty well done trailer actually.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where it actually sort of works against the title.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If you didn't know about the back, if you didn't know it was based on another property,
yep,
and it didn't have this title of the Transformers, and you called it something else, like Sigma Six,
yep,
to borrow a phrase from Thank You for Smoking, you might take it seriously. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily, by labeling it Transformers, there are some people that will just dismiss it no matter what.
Yep.
And you have to wonder if it didn't have that attached to it. Now, granted, it will, it's that, that backstory and all of the fact that it's an existing property is going to make it a ton of money no matter how good it is. So I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but it's an interesting movie so that you could easily not envision this as being the Transformers.
Yeah.
I'm just babbling.
Since
I'm
you
sorry.
Brought up Thank You for Smoking, I remember that other favorite thing I liked with Rob Lowe when they were talking about smoking in space. He goes, oh, don't worry about it, you know, you just have that thing, you know.
That's right.
You know, oh, thank God we invented that thing that prevents the space station blowing up by smoking in the pure oxygen environment or whatever. It was brilliant.
Well, and it's funny how many movies don't have that line where they acknowledge the thing.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because it's such an obvious thing, but it never occurred to me till they brought it up in that movie. It
exactly
was so
right
funny.
Oh, Grindhouse.
I didn't see the trailers. I read the big Entertainment Weekly coverage.
I haven't seen that
so
yet. I get my Entertainment Weeklies from John on a recycle basis.
I don't
so
read
I get
it
like a month later.
I don't read it, but I saw the link to it. And Entertainment Weekly, when you go to their website, what they do, it's the funniest thing. Speaking of Transformers, look at this ad. What they do is in Entertainment Weekly, their website, they take an article and they dole it out in like 21 increments. So you read like a paragraph, and of course there's an ad on the page, then you click to the next page. It's the craziest thing ever.
Hey,
it's
look,
basically
look just, at how we've boosted our ad revenue.
Exactly. It kills me. But if there's something I want to see, you know, I'll put up with the ads to read it. So they had like 20 pictures of 20 pictures of the Grindhouse movies. So I don't know.
you know, it, I'm more interested in seeing it now after seeing this trailer than I was before.
Yeah.
Because the trailer doesn't emphasize too many disgusting things.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're in there because the chick's got a gun for her leg, and but you don't see, I don't know, you don't see a lot of blood in the trailer.
Did you say a gunt or a gun?
A gun.
Oh, okay.
To her leg. I guess I shortened that up a little too quick. You know, and it looks interesting. I didn't realize both the movies were full length.
I thought they were like 50 minutes or like something like that.
Maybe it's just an affectation or something, but the trailer says two full-length movies back-to-back.
Oh. I'll bet you the whole thing tops out at 2 hours max. It'll probably be...
I thought it was.
I can't imagine them making people sit through, you know.
I don't know. It's, well, aside from the fact that... Oh, look. Jacksonville's going
to
score.
I know. Look at that guy. He's doing everything he can to make it. He must weigh 280 pounds.
Yeah, it's hard to make. I can't imagine they'd sold anyone on the business case for a four-hour specialized niche movie.
Yep.
That just wouldn't.
No, I missed it. I have to check that trailer out because I'm intrigued. But I imagine it will be a DVD movie for me.
You know, I forgot that it was. God, sorry, watching this replay of this run. That Kurt Russell was in it.
Yeah, he's like and that's a total reason to see it. I love Kurt Russell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when I saw it, he was like some car dude or whatever, I thought, yeah.
He's in the Terror Proof, which is the car one.
Yeah.
Also, Ocean's 13 trailer out this week.
I haven't seen that. Boy, that last one was so horribly bad.
I saw this trailer, and, you know, I like the trailer. I will probably see the movie in the... The only reason I wouldn't see the movie, if it's in one of those... Nexi, where there's like four movies out at once I want to see.
Yeah, I'll probably see it too. I did see the last one in the theaters, and I hated
me too,
it. And I loved the first one.
Exactly.
I like the people are involved, so I mean, I'll probably see it for that. They don't have friggin' Julia Roberts in this one again, do they?
Not in the trailer, not in the credits, or at least not in the brief glimpse of
where
the credits.
Where are they filming this one at? Where does it take place?
I think it's Vegas again.
Okay.
And you're exactly right in that I really... really, really, really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one had some good bits to it, but just so completely didn't work.
Yeah, it was so dumb in some ways. There was some good things. I mean, in little snippet scenes. I love that scene in the trailer where Brad Pitt's walking down to his car, and it's all handheld, over-the-shoulder Steven Soderbergh stuff, and then this car he's about to go to blows up. And it was unexpected, and it was cool. And then there was a couple little acting things, but it was ultimately so smug. And ultimately, the heist was so fantastically ridiculous in so many ways. None more so than the fact that they go to Venice and raise a building for, you know, they literally go under, cut the pylons, use some mechanical thing on each one of the pylons, raise this home a foot so they can get an access to seeing him is the stupidest thing ever.
See,
and they had one day to plan this stuff. You couldn't do a year to get that kind of equipment and get away with that stuff.
I agree, that was silly. That didn't bother me near as much as the whole Julia Roberts looks like Julia Roberts thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's the bit that keeps me from wanting to even get the DVD.
Oh, and it was smug. And I like him being in there. It was smug. It was... Speaking of Bruce Willis, did you see the...
no, I didn't see
Die Hard. It's, you know, I'm looking at this going, I must be the only person in the world. I kind of really liked the last one. I liked the Samuel Jackson one.
You know what? That one grew on me. Hated it when I first saw it.
I kind of did too,
and
but
it grew on
me. I've seen it again and again. But this one looked pretty good. It's the dumbest name. I thought the last one had a dumb name. This one is...
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
No, it's... Yeah, that was the last one. This one is called Live Free or Die Hard. I mean, what's the state that has Live Free or Die? That's their
New Hampshire.
Yeah. So anyway, so maybe this is taking place in New Hampshire, but anyway, it looked pretty good. Who was the other? There's somebody. Oh, you know, who's the co-star in it?
Yes, I do. Justin Long.
Yeah. Is the Matt guy. And poor Justin Long got all this bad publicity a couple weeks ago. And I'm thinking, he's a clever guy. He's a good actor. And it was kind of cool to see him in that movie. And I think I sent you the link to the trailer and I was going, I wonder how many people after they watch that are going to go, dude, that's the Mac guy. If they hadn't seen him in some of the other stuff he'd been in.
Some other things of note. Rocky has 77% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, and I'm
good for them.
Probably going to see it. My feeling on that was, A, it's probably a pretty good movie. B, it's one of those movies where it's coming along where to a great extent, the reviewers are giving the movie a great deal of benefit of the doubt. Not to say it's not a good movie, because I've heard it's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But I think to a great extent, reviewers know that generally, you know, Stallone has had a horrible career the last 10 years. Yet they always know he's generally considered a pretty nice guy, a smart, articulate guy, and he put his all into this movie, and he's selling it, for the most part, the right way, except for one thing I wanted to mention. But I think to some extent, reading the reviews, and to some extent, they're giving it a pass. And everybody who I read reviews, they're saying, if you know and like Rocky, if you know the history and you like those things, you're going to love this movie. If you don't really know much Rocky, you didn't really like the other ones, you're absolutely not going to like this at all, because it's just rehashing the same themes. But did you notice that Sylvester Stallone, in an effort, like a lot of these movies, to promote it, has found Jesus? Have you heard about that?
No.
So a lot of theaters, these movies these days, that, you know, they try to do niche marketing, and there's this one little outfit that very successfully helped market this little movie called The Passion of the Christ. And how they did it was by really going out to religious leaders and other stuff to get them talking about it on Sunday morning and other stuff. So now every movie with any friggin' angle that could remotely be considered religious has, they're hiring this guy to kind of promote it. And Rocky was getting a ton of bad publicity, in the sense that Rocky has nothing to do with religion, but Sylvester Stallone put to... Oh, there goes my phone again. Sylvester Stallone put up this... The machine will catch in a second here. But Sylvester Stallone put up this website basically called like RockyValues.com or something. And on there, it's like he has his personal message to religious groups about the morally uplifting tone of the movie and how it can teach you valuable life lessons and stuff. And then they sent out like videos and stuff to churches so they could show in churches on Sunday morning. And then they had like little kits on life lessons that you can learn from this scene in Rocky. And it basically is the natural progression of all of that promotion from 2 years ago. Now, every single movie, when they promote it, they try to figure out how can we reach these other target groups. So people are kind of eviscerating on NPR. They were just going to town on this movie. And I kept thinking, you know, what do you expect? He's just trying to sell a movie.
Yeah,
and if there's any connection, just let him do it and don't get upset if they're not doing it.
The last Jon Stewart HBO comedy special, which is getting pretty dated now, but he was talking about Bob Dole.
Yeah.
And he's like, if they told him that he can win the election by appealing to homosexuals, you'd know he'd come out the next day. Bob Dole's a fairy. Bob yeah. Dole's always been a fairy. Yeah. Bob Dole loves fairies.
Exactly.
All right. The other thing, Letters from Iwo Jima, 94%.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's another movie that quietly is becoming the de facto standard bearer for possibly Oscar, which this was his second movie that he did almost as an afterthought from his first one, which did okay reviews, but did not do very well in the theaters. And that's perceiving to hurt it in Oscar buzz.
And then the last, actually, I had two more things to mention. One, did you see the Comedy Central Last Laugh 2006 special?
Yep.
We watched it. I mean, and they promoted the hell out of this thing.
Yeah.
Commercials every break on Comedy Central.
Yep.
And I mean, I saw full page ads and magazines and whatnot.
Yep.
And I watched it completely underwhelmed.
I thought it was funny.
It's not that it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
It was just eh.
Yeah, it's just three comics and, you know.
Lewis Black, who's funny, and Patton Oswalt and Greg Giraldo.
Yep.
And they're all funny, but, you know, both Patton and Greg basically had five-minute sets.
Yep.
And then as they're going in and out of commercial for the breaks, they're like, log on to ComedyCentral.com and see the outtakes that were too extreme.
Yeah.
And you're just, okay.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't that much. Did you see that Saturday Night Live, last week tried to... They're trying to... It was funny. This week, they replayed their... the famous episode last year where they had Lazy Sunday, which single-handedly basically saved the whole season. Well, last week they had another one, which is pretty funny. And it was Adam Sandberg and Justin Timberlake playing these two basically white boy color me bad rappers singing about singing a love song to this chick. And it's called a D-I-C-K in a box. I got my in a box. Well, what they did was they released it to YouTube, but they released it without the bleeping on it, which was kind of interesting that Saturday Night Live would pointedly release something that they would edit on air or whatever. But anyway, it caused a pretty big tons of downloads. A lot of people, not quite Lazy Sunday, but still legitimately funny. Like, as he's a pretty good entertainer, and Adam Sandberg is pretty good too, so it's pretty funny.
The last thing before we get into our year-round our wrap-up, I borrowed a couple of Xbox games from you last week. I put in Test Drive Unlimited.
Yep,
I'm addicted to that stupid thing.
Yeah,
now.
It's pretty awesome.
And
isn't
part
it?
Of it's because I do something called achievement whoring.
Oh yeah, same here.
Where you're just totally motivated by getting achievements.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know what the most ridiculous achievement on that thing is? That I sat there for like 8 hours just accumulating it. One of the achievements is driving every single road on that island. And I was sitting there for like 8 hours and I was basically at 50%. And I'm like, holy crapola. You know, I mean, I've literally gone everywhere, but there's so many little side roads and back roads that I'm finding myself driving off, going off country to hit this little road, that little road. And it's not real easy to figure out what you missed. I mean, it shows you on a map, but you got to just basically use your GPS and scan around to see. But yeah, I was the same way, just, you know, trying to win every one of these races, that races. That game is uniquely suited for achievement whores. It's unbelievably well done for that.
Quite interesting. And, you know, that's anytime I have free time, that's what I want to do now.
Isn't it weird to be driving around and seeing all these other people driving, and you go by and you can see, oh, that's another person using Xbox Live. Literally, you're just passing people left and right.
Although I'm not terribly good at the longer distance timed ones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to take a hitchhiker 11 miles in 7 minutes, and I'm not good at those.
Well, I did. It took me two tries, but I did pass the, there's one tour of the island one, and it's an hour long.
Good
it takes an hour
God.
Long, but I think you get like $1 million for it. So, but once you get the key to a lot of those is getting the right car and getting used to it. And that hour long one is, I just use there's this Koenigsegg something car.
It's a Koenigsegg.
Koenigsegg car, and it's very, there's a couple of them. If you want to accumulate tons of money, there's one called 60 miles an hour on a curvy road or something. Well, you go down there, and the minute it starts, you turn your car around and you go on the straight road and you get up 60 miles an hour. And it took me like the minute I did that, I screwed up and I was going the wrong way, and I immediately figured it out. And whenever I need money, I would just sit there and just over and over, and you get $10,000 a pop or something. Easy way to just start accumulating money.
Anyway, so it's a fun game. All right. So it is now time, I believe, for our 2006 wrap up.
Absolutely.
And because we are unprepared, only one of us, Richard, will have the list in front of him.
I can go down the list a little.
So basically, my thought was we look at all the movies that came out in 2006, or in this case, maybe just the top 100.
Yep.
And just briefly riff on them.
Sure.
And sort of say, you know, this was one of my favorites. This was one of my favorites. I don't really care quite as much about what they made, although the only way I could find the list was by the top grocers.
Yeah, well,
so that's how we're going to go down the list.
First one, obviously, is Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know what's interesting about that? Well, not to interrupt you, as before you say 2/ Dead Man's Chest.
Well, it's already the I think like the second biggest grossing movie of all time, which means it's the second best movie of all time.
My wife thought that thing had failed at the box office. She's like, didn't that flop?
I
don't know. I didn't ask her on what she was basing that.
Wow.
That feeling, but
could not possibly. There's literally almost no way it could have been done better.
And now because the DVD is just released, there's marketing aplenty for it.
Yeah.
And it's just disgusting.
Yeah. And if you're an Apple person, you know, they're heavily, because they're selling on iTunes. You see it every time you turn around in iTunes or anything else.
Well, and the what was I gonna? Like, the one of the campaigns is They show like an office cube, like some guys are watching in their office on their cell phone, and so they put this office cube on a pirate ship, and it's A, it's a really bad commercial, but B, it just brings up the why on earth would I want to watch a movie, any movie, on a cell phone screen?
I have watched, I downloaded shows that. On my iPod, TV shows.
Well, at least the ratio's right on that.
But yeah, but movies, it's insanity. I have no idea what they're thinking of. A cell phone, which is like a quarter the size of an iPod screen, basically. Crazy.
I have never understood why cell phone companies think that's a big deal.
Yep.
I can't imagine anybody is doing it. All right.
So number two is Cars Return to Form. It made like $250 million.
And it's funny because I think a lot of people were sort of saying, that's a good Pixar movie, but eh. Yeah. And it's the second best movie, second highest grossing movie of the year. I really like the movie. I reiterate my frustration that the DVD is not the ultimate edition like Pixar has done in the past.
Every time I go into Costco and I pick, oh, maybe this is the new ultimate. And it's like, no, piece of crap. Three X-Men Last Stand.
Not a bad movie, but disappointing in my opinion.
I would say completely the opposite of disappointing, because I was so expecting that to be a horrible piece of crap. And I so hate Brett Ratner that when I saw that and go, my God, I'm enjoying this. Now, admittedly, a lot of stupid stuff. It still drives me nuts that they felt they had to bend the Golden Gate Bridge to deliver these people to this island, as if that's the only way you could have got them over to the island. But that said, I like this movie, but I'm surprised it was like number three, but that's pretty incredible.
Yep.
Number four, Da Vinci Code.
Didn't see it.
No eventually, interest in seeing it. I might, if the DVD, I probably will pick it up.
And I'll probably borrow it.
Superman Returns. Ultimately made $200 million.
Back up for a second. You know, they're making a prequel. I guess a prequel for the Dan Brown's next book.
Yeah, Angels and Demons.
No, that was his last book.
Oh, okay.
Angels and Demons. Is the next movie Angels and Demons?
Probably, because it's the same. Oh, my God, a ref just got plowed. Sweet. Oh, man, he really got hit.
Say sweet.
I mean,
guy's in
pain. I mean, dang.
The
Well, no, Angels and Demons he wrote before, but it has the same guy in it.
Right.
That was and essentially.
Actually, it was pretty funny. Jeffrey Wells. Well, you just took a ball in the head.
Let's just see. And it's.
I guess it clocked him in the ear. You get hit in the ear, it hurts.
That can hurt. That can really hurt.
I don't know. I saw somebody did a plot review on Jeff Wells, and it might have been Jeff Wells himself, where it was basically the exact same plot as the Da Vinci Code, just with a different MacGuffin.
That's Angels and Demons, basically.
And that guy's talent. Anyway, so I just. You know, and Tom Hanks is signed. I don't know if...
He is signed. Okay.
I don't know if Ron Howard, how involved Ron Howard is.
Yeah.
But, I
have very little interest in Da Vinci Code and much less in Angels and Demons.
Okay. So you were talking about Superman.
Superman Returns made $200,081,000. That was the one they strung out in the theaters forever to finally get over the $200 million mark. And they did it by $80,000.
Well, and got what the carryover costs from the previous movies were, wasn't that 60 million?
Yeah, 60 to 70. All this stuff combined that they essentially wrote off.
Yeah.
Which is incredible when you think about it. Ice Age.
Yeah, no Ice interest. Age 2.
I know you like the first one.
It's number 6, isn't it?
It's number 6. It made almost $200 million.
I didn't see this one. I'm happy to see it. I don't recall hearing that this one was bad.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in the first one, and I'm sort of burned out, unless it's Pixar, and maybe Shrek, I'm not hugely interested. Next one was another anime film, Happy Feet, which is probably going to beat Ice Age, because it's already at 160 million.
Yeah, that one's still going. I have zero interest in that.
Same here.
Although, now that I hear that conservatives are supposed environmental messages, which I think we talked about last week, that kind of makes me want to... You know, just F you to the conservatives to give it another $7.
The only mild reason I'm interested in it is that I like George Miller, the director, and I liked his kids movie, Babe, and I liked Babe, Pig in a City. And that's like this tiny little flicker that oh, maybe I'll pick it up. If I need to buy a third DVD to get the three for $25 deal, and that's the only thing out there, that's why I'll pick it up. If there's a commentary track, too.
Okay.
Next one. Wow, three in a row. Over the Hedge.
Oh, my God.
But
so that means that's top 10.
Number eight. Basically $155 million.
That was such a...
But that movie cost, if I'm not mistaken, it cost about that much money. So.
You know, it wasn't a bad movie, but it just sits there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good movie at all.
Yeah.
It just...
Talladega Nights, another winner for...
Okay.
Assuming they don't spend too much making this thing, another winner. That's the problem with some of these comedies is you know, Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, they can deliver... $80 to $120 million in income, but if you're spending $120 making the movie, you're screwing yourself. And I don't know how much they spent on this one.
I don't know. It's a very funny movie, and now that the DVD is coming out, they're marketing the heck out of it. Plus, I think all the PS3s had an included copy, Blu-ray version.
Yeah, Casino Royale, number 10, and that's still going, so it'll probably end up like number 8 for the year, probably, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is, oh, Click.
I know. What the hell?
Ugh.
You know, I was, it's...
Well, it's kind of a clever concept. Not clever. I mean, we've seen it before, but looking at the previews, you're going, well, this could be funny. It's just like a little dumb. But my understanding is the movie was nothing like the previews. The movie was him fast forwarding through life, getting old and becoming extremely bitter at how he screwed everything up. It's like, really? That did $140 million?
You know, actually, before we move on, yep. You mentioned Casino Royale, and I thought, you know, something that has informed whether or not I go to see a movie in the past month has been the fact that it's frigging Christmas.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
But when my wife and I are going to go see Casino Royale, yep. I had to choose the Woodinville Theater because yep. It's not near the mall.
Yeah. Oh my God, the mall.
There's two big, nice theaters are ones, you know, next to the food court practically, and shares parking lot space with the mall, and the other is across the street from the mall, and there is no way in hell.
Yeah.
There
Last week when we saw whatever movie, I can't even remember what movie we saw, but last week it was so crowded at the mall, we're driving in and we're not seeing any spaces whatsoever, and we found like this incredibly fortuitous space open up right near the theater, but literally there must have been 40,000 cars there. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and so it's like, you know, if I have time and the inclination to see a movie and it's only playing at the mall, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
it is so not worth it.
I hear you.
Anyway, I just that has informed some of my choices in the past month.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
Next one was Mission Impossible 3, which can't help but be a disappointment. Although internationally, the thing made close to $500 million.
I thought it was a good movie.
I liked it too. I was struck by watching, there's my friggin' phone again. I was struck by watching on TV, watching on TV Mission Impossible 1 the other day that I hadn't seen in a while, and it's literally 10 years old, and I was struck by how fantastically different the new one is versus the old one. I mean, the old one just looks, I enjoyed it a great deal, but it almost looks like a 1960s in like Flint movie, and this one just felt very modern. Next one is Devil Wears Prada. I saw it. I enjoyed it.
I saw it on a plane. I thought it was okay, but I wanted more.
Next one, Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Made $125 million domestic.
We have talked Borat to death, but we both like this movie an awful lot.
Yep. Next one is Departed, which is only number 15, but it's actually probably the biggest Scorsese film of all time because it made like $120 million.
Just to digress for a moment, there was an American Dad episode last week or the week before where the plot of it was there was some time travel involved, and the guy goes back and convinces Martin Scorsese to not do drugs, as a result of which he doesn't make Taxi Driver, as a result of which John Hinckley doesn't fall in love with Jodie Foster and doesn't shoot Ronald Reagan, who then loses to Jimmy Carter or something in the second election, and then he gets back to the year 2006 and communists have taken over America. Nice. All because of that chain of events.
Nice.
Okay.
Number 16, The Breakup. I had to like think, what the hell is that? And then I realized, oh yeah, that's the Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn thing, which did really well, a romantic
yeah.
anti-comedy or anti-romantic comedy. And it shows that the power of, I mean, I, first of all, I thought it was pretty good. I felt good for Jennifer Aniston because I've seen her in some movies and I thought she was good in these movies, but she was definitely, if this thing didn't succeed, she was going to be back doing series television basically. And now she's shown that I can make money in a movie, which is cool. Scary Movie 4. Holy crapola. Talk about a movie I have so little interest in seeing whatsoever. Next one was Failure to Launch. I had to really think about that one. I think that was the McConaughey and Kate Hudson thing or something.
Not Kate Hudson, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Well,
featuring Terry Bradshaw as the dad.
All things considered, did relatively well, 90 million.
My wife wanted to see that. Matthew McConaughey is an imaginary boyfriend of hers.
Yeah, a lot of people. It's funny how he's been bouncing around, but this year, him, you know, all those daily shots of him down on the beach in Malibu was getting everybody excited. Next one is Inside Man, which, considering listening to the DVD, how cheaply they made that movie, was a pretty big success, 90 million. And I got to think that's the biggest, biggest Spike Lee movie ever. I don't know how much Malcolm X, another one he did that even approached that. That's
definitely
that.
One of my favorites this year. Inside I love that Man.
Movie. Open Season, which that, is that an animated thing?
Yeah, that was the one with, Martin Lawrence as the bear and Ashton Kutcher as the buck with the one antler.
Oh yeah. God. Well, good. It tanked, basically. Pink Panther, 80 million. That was interesting. That was the movie that they filmed. People forget the old Pink Panther movies were basically adult movies. They had adult humor. They had a bunch of stuff with a lot of comedy stuff. And they filmed this one the same way. And about 3-4 months before they're releasing it, they decided, you know what? This is a kid's movie and let's make it more Inspector Gadget like. So they reshot a bunch of stuff and literally pulled out all of the adult humor and released it as a PG movie. And you got to assume it was the right decision because apparently this piece of crud movie made like 80 million. I don't know if that was good or not. Eight Below.
That's
the dog racing movie that takes place in the middle of winter in pure sunshine in the middle of winter.
I have nothing to say about it.
Santa Claus, The Escape. Well, it's the third in the series, The Escape Clause. I have
nothing to say about that either.
But, you know, the first two people, it's taken them so long to make sequels, but the first two made a fortune.
Oh, sure.
This one, not so what? Saw 3, 80 million.
Ugh.
Considering how little
I can't stand the dismember. I mean, I don't like horror films to begin with, but dismemberment films, they gross me out.
Nacho Libre.
I still haven't seen that, and I feel guilty.
I personally think I'm going to hate it. Somebody made a good point about, I was reading a review, and I thought, boy, that's probably what it'll be. Like, the director sort of, a whole bunch of the jokes are kind of predicated on just the thought that being Mexican is funny. and you're sort of realizing there's not much beyond the joke other than that. And I have little interest in seeing it. Even though I love Jack Black. You, Me, and Dupree.
No, thank you.
Ugh.
What number is that?
That's number 26, made 75 mil, which is pretty good. That's not going to hurt.
I like, you know, I like everybody, and I like Kate Hudson. I like Matt Dillon. I like Owen Wilson.
It's Wilson, not going to hurt their career, although I'm sure they wanted it to be better. Next one is Monster House, which I'm sure they want to do better. It got great reviews. And I bought it. I haven't seen it yet, but
I think, you know, that's one of those things where listening to like This Week in Media with Alex Lindsay and whatnot, you almost get the impression that was more of one of those proof of concept films.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right.
To get the 3D animated technology.
It's like they're extending what they did in Polar Express.
Because it was Zemeckis.
Although the one that I'm looking to see is Beowulf. Have you heard? And did you see the pictures before they took him offline?
No, I did not. Oh,
it killed me when I saw him because the way, and they want to release NC-17 version and another one.
So we actually haven't discussed this at all. They're making a version of Beowulf.
Yep.
I never read it. I'm somewhat familiar with what's going on, but I never had to read it in school. They had Neil Gaiman write the script. I'm not sure how much Roger Avery was a part of that, but I think Roger Avery was going to direct it.
Who co-wrote Pulp Fiction.
And Robert Zemeckis found out, and he came to them and said, you know,
Let's join projects, basically.
Yeah, well, he said, I want to do this money. You know, I want you to be involved, but I want to do this too. And they said, no, thanks. And, like, they repeated that process with Robert Zemeckis having a larger wheelbarrow full of money each time until finally Neil Gaiman and Roger Avery said, okay, that is a large enough wheelbarrow of money that we will work with you.
Well, and to Zemeckis's credit, Beowulf is as public domain as you can get. So it's not like he couldn't have gone and done his own thing. He wanted to work with these guys, and he liked what they were doing.
And so they're doing a motion capture animated in the same vein as Polar Express, only this is like the next version of the software.
But to some extent, it's interesting because, like, Angelina Jolie's in this, and it's not,
Crispin Glover and Anthony Hopkins.
Exactly, but it's not, it to some extent, and I'm not sure how much it is, but a lot of these actors, it's not like Tom Hanks playing a little kid and then changing it. No, it's a version of themselves, and it's a very realistic, and it's got nudity, and it's, which is going to be weird to think. It's like, wow, that looks like her, or that doesn't, or whatever, and it's got, horrible violence, and it's like, wow, this is interesting, because every movie that's been done this way, or anything like this, has been a kid's movie, and this is definitely, my understanding, not a kid's movie.
And sort of in the same, I mean, and there's a couple, I mean, Neil Gaiman's actually got some things in the works. He's got Coraline, which is sort of a children's horror story that he wrote and did very, very, very well. They are making an animated version of that with Michelle Pfeiffer. I think Michelle Pfeiffer. So that'll be interesting. And they're also doing a movie version of Stardust, which is directed by Matthew Vaughn, who did Layer Cake.
And what is Stardust? I know there's like an old standard song.
No, this is it's a fairy tale. It's a really well done. Originally, it was a limited edition comic book series, but it was more of a graphic novel. And they collected it, and then he wrote a novelization of it. Neil Gaiman being the he.
Yeah.
And there, Michelle Pfeiffer's in it. Robert De Niro's in it. I think it's being narrated by Ian McKellen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to this because it's one of my favorite stories that Neil Gaiman, one of my favorite authors, has written.
Yeah.
Oh, Claire Danes is in it.
Cool.
So I kind of got sidetracked by Neil Gaiman projects. So Monster House is where we're at.
Jackass number 2 made $70 million. That's, you know.
Okay.
Hang on just a second. Let me move down here and hopefully won't screw up the sound too much. One is, oh God, Barnyard, the original Party Animals.
Which is, this was the last 2D animated film that Disney made, isn't it?
Maybe it was.
Or God, was this one 3D?
I don't know. This is the one that had the cow, the boy cow, which is so disturbing, just the thought of it.
You know, actually, I think this it may not have been. I could be confusing that with something else. Although, in the news recently was a blurb that John Lasseter hopes to bring, is moving forward with his plans to turn Disney back into 2D animation and leaving the 3D to Pixar.
Because, of course, he has to prove it. But, of course, he is exactly right when he says it is not about the computers. It is about the storytelling and the technique and the other stuff. It's not. And so he's saying that, yes, of course, a 2D movie can be great.
Yeah.
They've just been chugging out crappy, crappy movies.
Yeah.
Next one is RV.
Okay.
Which my understanding is they made it really on the cheap, basically. You know, basically it was, what's his name? The director. God, who is it? The former DP for the Coen brothers made Men in Black and all the other stuff. And Robin Williams, and they all took big pay cuts to make a cheap comedy. And I guess it paid off because they made it for like $40 million and it made $70 million and probably make a lot more on tape. V for Vendetta, which by all accounts did very poorly, made $70 million.
Well, that's, I thought it was a pretty good movie. I think it deserves to be better than that. I don't know if it was one of my favorites of the year, but I enjoyed it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it or like it. World Trade Center. This is the first movie that I can ever remember I got up and walked out of. I just thought it was such a piece of crap. And it was funny because the person I was with, Mark, our buddy Mark, both of us, I mean, we weren't commenting, we weren't making any statements, and like 45 minutes in, an hour in the movie, look at each other, go, want to go get something to eat? I just got up and left. We were both thinking the same thing. Terrible movie. I don't understand how it got any good reviews. I can only think it was one of those things where people felt, oh, the subject matter, this and that. And maybe it got way better as it went along, but it was stupid, terrible, overacted, horrible movie. And I'm glad it tanked, basically.
Okay.
Big Mama's House. There was another Big Mama's House? I didn't even know. There's like Big Mama's House 2.
I was vaguely aware of it.
Step Up. I have no idea what Step Up
that's
is.
That's the it's a teenager. The kid from the wrong side of the tracks likes the girl. Oh, she's Christ. Into dancing, so he learns to dance.
Ugh.
You know, it looked inspirational. At least it's not like a gangsta movie.
Here's a movie that I wish probably did a lot better, Miami Vice. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, one of my favorites. And, you know, it's one of those, I have been holding out on getting the DVD because I keep thinking maybe I'll get the HD DVD player, and I keep not pulling the trigger on that.
Yeah, I was gift wrapping for my, you know, I work for this charity. I was gift wrapping yesterday at Barnes & Noble to raise money, and two people came up with their new HD DVD player they're giving away to somebody that I had to gift wrap for them. And I was like, dang, I wanted to get this.
You're like, hey, what's that behind you? Swap out.
I know. We, Miami Vice, I just really want, I mean, he's like one of my favorite directors, and I want it to do better than $60 million. Clearly it.
And
it,
I'll probably just get the DVD, but it's one of those.
Well, the DVD has his alternate ending too. He recut the movie in a different way.
So it's got a new beginning as well.
Next one is, Tyler Perry's Madea's Family Reunion. Tyler Perry / S, Madea / S, Family Reunion.
That kind of reminds me of Stephen Colbert Presents Stephen Colbert's Alpha Force, starring Stephen Colbert,
the Tech Jansen Avengers. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I'm sure they thought this would do better. It got good reviews.
That's
Underworld Evolution. The first one did not do well. I'm kind of surprised they bothered to make a second one.
I don't know. I think it was probably within the niche it did very well.
Yeah.
Because like you say, hot chicken leather vampires, John is there.
Yeah, I know. But then you could have made the same statement about Ultraviolet and other ones and Aeon Flux.
I wanted to see that.
I know. And then you got the 5% on the tomato meter kind of steered
dissuaded.
You away. Flushed Away. Huge flop. Huge flop. A DreamWorks movie made $60 million. I think that cost like upwards of $150 million.
About that last week too.
Well, that's okay.
I know.
Shaggy Dog. The Tim Allen juggernaut is over. Poseidon.
That's
huge
not,
flop.
I don't know. Tim Allen. You say the Tim Allen juggernaut.
I'm just joking. Tim Allen's actually been in a lot of very successful movies.
Well, it's you know what? It's, I mean, to some degree, it has to do with Tim Allen. That's all about the product and Disney. And,
oh, yeah. I'm not joking. I like Tim Allen.
Yeah. So Poseidon.
Poseidon. Huge flop.
That's
huge
so,
flop.
It's really too bad because it was a good movie.
And I've resisted getting the DVD. It's weird to look at the DVD. Another movie that I didn't think is 90 minutes long, but there's no commentary track. And I love Wolfgang Peterson's commentaries. Next one. Wow, I thought this did way better than this, but still pretty good. Little Miss Sunshine, $10 million movie, made $60 million. So it's number 42 for the year. Almost certainly is going to get nominated for a bunch of Oscars,
yeah,
and it will probably make more money.
That was one of my favorites, just because it was, and Jeffrey Wells pointed this out, it's sort of about us, not them.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, it's a film that people can relate to because it's a film about a simple family.
Yeah.
You know, a weird family, a slightly sitcomish family,
yeah.
But you know, it's much more relatable than Miami Vice.
Yeah.
You're not going to look at Colin Farrell and go, "I'm that hot," or "I'm a undercover drug cop."
Yeah.
So and that was a really interesting point, and I thought, wow, okay, yeah.
Deja Vu, number 43. It's not ended, but it's tanking. Curious George. I'm sure they thought and wanted this to do a lot better. It's a movie at what's typically a younger crowd than even most animated movies. And I'm sure they think it'll have a big life in it. The soundtrack did really well.
Well, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Jack Johnson did the soundtrack, and he is definitely...
And he's totally into it.
A hip artist.
Little Man. That was that movie with the morphed-on face of the Wayans brothers.
Sean Wayans as a midget playing a, like going undercover as a baby. That looked so stupid.
Oh, that's okay. Invincible's the next one. That's that Mark Wahlberg thing. Yeah. They're promoting. It's the weirdest thing. They have these ads and they're promoting Get Invincible and Step Up in theaters near you. And it's, I mean, in a video store near you. I'm trying to figure out what is the connection. It's almost like they thought, oh, well, you got to get some ads out there, and they just split them. They're
well, is it the same studio, I assume?
It could be, but it's completely different kind of movies.
I don't know, maybe part of the deal was that they had to be marketed in such a way.
It just seems weird because they don't seem to be a corollary at all. The Benchwarmers, although it made like $60 million, it's got to be one of the bigger David Spade movies. That's David Spade, Napoleon Dynamite. Looked horrible. The Guardian. What the hell is The Guardian?
That's the Kevin Costner Coast Guard movie.
Oh, boy, that didn't do that well. I feel bad. I kind of like Kevin Costner. The Omen.
Dude, you're covering your mouth with your hand.
The Omen, 2006. It's number 49. That didn't do so well. I had no interest in that. Although the first movie really freaked me out when I saw it as a kid.
Never saw it. Don't care about the second one at all.
Next one, Final Destination 3. So clearly we're hitting the same tone of movies here.
What is this? There's it's a new an ad Shade, for David Spade. Rules of Engagement.
Oh, is it a TV show?
Looks like it, with Patrick Warburton.
David Spade's in it. He's in a new TV series.
All that does is make me think of... that makes me think of two things. One is the Onion story about the Just Shoot Me writer that goes to the bar and tries to impress people by the fact he writes for Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
And it completely and totally fails. And then the other thing it makes me think of is Dennis Miller telling a David Spade joke, saying, you know, every time I'm out with David and we see a limo, David says, ooh, you've got $40.
Well, David Spade, he was on Howard Stern once and he was talking, they were kind of ribbing him about Just Shoot Me. And I always thought he was actually pretty funny on that show.
It wasn't that bad a show.
But he would talk about, he'd go, Howard, you need to understand, I have this little money tree growing in my backyard. It's called Just Shoot Me. And every week I go out and I shake the money tree and it just comes raining down upon me. I mean, that's the way he describes a series television show. It's like a little money tree that just keeps growing. Once
syndication kicks in.
Exactly. Ka-ching. So next one is The Lake House, which got surprisingly good reviews, and including it's probably the movie more people are saying, on their top, not putting a top 10, but saying surprisingly enjoyable kind of thing, but didn't do that well.
That did not pass the wife test.
The Prestige.
Ooh,
there's a movie you saw.
I did see it. I don't know if I would put it as one of my favorites. I mean, compared to the rest of the year, I guess so, but I was...
It did okay, but you got to think they're disappointed that it's number 52 on the
year. I wanted
it
to be better than it was for a variety of reasons we discussed at the time. But
yeah. Firewall, which tanked, and by all accounts...
Oh, that was the Harrison... Right? No, that was the Harrison Ford one, right?
Yeah, nope, exactly.
Didn't see it.
Looks terrible. Date Movie. Ugh, no. When a Stranger Calls. Is this... What is this?
That's a generic horror film.
Well, it's a remake. I remember, like, the first one. That's the one.
I couldn't tell you anything
about
it.
He's in the house, I think, that one.
Yeah.
Hostel. Hostel, all things considered,
that this year?
That was... Let's see. Hostel came out...
Or was that end of last year?
No, it came out in January.
Okay.
And it was only out for a month, but it made $50 million. And considering they probably spent $10 million on the movie, and if you didn't like Saw, you really wouldn't like Hostel.
No, and I know to avoid that.
Oh, Nanny McPhee. That was interesting because that was the movie with Emma Thompson as this nanny, and they really wanted it to be a movie where they could have sequels and other stuff. And I felt bad because the character, she has to look horribly ugly. So... they can't. So they're showing interviews with Emma Thompson, and I never thought I'd say this before, that like the ads for the movie featured interviews with Emma Thompson out of character, because I think they thought people would be horrified by her otherwise. Silent Hill. Pursuit of Happiness is already number 59. It's made, it's doing, and that's clearly going to do.
It's doing very well, and I'm very happy for Will Smith, because I have always liked Will Smith. God, was that... I don't know. I heard a comment one time, and it was like the white person's favorite black person.
Yeah,
like,
I
think it was referring to him, but it might have been a joke about
Wayne
Brady.
I feel bad when people say that, because it's like, I don't know, he's a good guy. Glory Road. I am a sucker for these well-made, inspiring, movies I will certainly see.
And so is my wife, except for her, they don't have to be well made.
Okay. But I mean, of course, the gold standard, the first big one like this was probably like Hoosiers. But you know, I'm definitely looking forward to see on DVD We Are Marshall, even if McG directed it and so forth. And Glory Road, I can't remember the actor, but Josh, what's his name?
Lucas.
Lucas. He always struck me as like a pretty boy, goofy actor. But seeing the previews for this movie, he looked pretty good in it. Lady in the Water, hugely unsuccessful.
But now that's out on DVD or is about to be released, I'm encouraging my friend Richard.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Although although the ads for it are driving me nuts because it's showing a picture of the DVD, and then quickly on the DVD cover, her eyes go from closed to open. And I think they might have one of those 3D things, I think. And it's like, you're ruining my enjoyment.
What is that? There's a word for that. I want to say Fresnel, but that's not
it. Yeah, it's like a Fresnel lens. Yeah, it's like one of the, exactly. Hills Have Eyes, another bad movie. So John Tucker Must Die. Nothing about it, but I remember seeing ads for it.
It was kind of aimed at teenagers, like a date movie, but there were hot chicks in it. It looked, you know what, in terms of a generic teen movie, it looked different. It looked interesting because it's all these hot chicks that have sort of been wronged by this guy apparently get revenge or something like that. And I thought, I haven't seen that movie before. Let me put it that way.
Stranger Than Fiction. Boy, that didn't do very well. $40 million. Will Ferrell's got to be like smarting for that, but it won't affect his career much. The Illusionist, which made $40 million and probably only cost $20 million. That's got to be considered a success.
You know, I mostly liked it, but there were problems with the ending. It was a little too Usual Suspects.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. What the hell's up with that? Didn't they remake that last year? Is that like another remake?
That's another remake.
The Grudge 2, another one.
No, thank you.
Gridiron Gang, that would be The Rock. As a coach.
You know what though, that trailer, that preview didn't look bad.
I like the honestly. Rock. I've always enjoyed the guy.
I thought the title was stupid.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The title, I mean, I wasn't really gonna see it anyway, but the title's keeping me away more so.
Well, having seen a lot of wrestling, you end up appreciating these guys as performers, as actors, and other stuff. And I like pulling for this guy because he's clever, smart on his feet. Last Holiday, what the hell is that?
That's the Queen Latifah remake.
That's right. I remember seeing that trailer going, this looks kind of funny. This looks kind of like good.
I saw it on the plane without any sound. I would look up my books every so often, and it's funny. You really didn't need sound for that movie.
No, I know. You know what's going on. The Wild. The fuck is that? Or fudge is that? Sorry. Is that a...
Where's the time marker?
57. I'll delete that. The
that's another Disney animated animal movie. The animals are in
Buena Vista. That's the one with the
They escape from New York. That's one looking for the lion cub or something.
Is that the one that had the same exact plot as Madagascar?
That's pretty much, even though I didn't see that one either.
Man of the Year. Oh, that's that horrible Robin Williams thing. Robin Williams and...
Which is funny because it seems like that could have been a really interesting movie.
Well, you know, it was Barry Levinson. And you know what was interesting is Howard Stern was offered that movie. And Barry Levinson wanted to make it with Howard Stern. And Howard Stern, of course, wouldn't have made it quite as touchy-feely. Would have made it... Essentially, he'd be playing Howard Stern that would get elected. And I would have been intrigued by how he would have done it. But he simply couldn't have done the movie. It wouldn't have had time. 16 Blocks. Oh, that's right. I bought that movie. I watched it.
I liked that movie.
Mos Def and Bruce Willis. But yeah, Bruce Willis doesn't have much of a, he can't open a movie much anymore. Cause this movie made $35 million bucks.
I don't know. I'll let it go.
Accepted. I thought the ads for that looked funny. The Sentinel. Is that the Michael Douglas thing?
You know what? That looked somewhat interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing that on DVD.
Take the Lead. What's that? Is that?
I think that was another dancing movie.
Oh, no, that was the Antonio Banderas one. Where he teaches people to dance. Oh, God. Snakes on a Plane. Huge flopola. The big question is, was it the internet campaign that made it worse or better or whatever? I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad. She's the Man. That's the one with David Cross in it.
Well, that's the one that was
the remake of Twelfth Night.
Yeah, a Shakespeare.
Let's see. Flags of Our Fathers, another horrible flop. $33 million, and they probably spent $70 million. By all accounts, it's a pretty good movie. Deck the Halls, yet another holiday movie. Which one? Oh, that's the Danny DeVito.
That's the Danny DeVito, Matthew Broderick one.
I felt bad the other day. I was listening on NPR. It's Terry Gross, and she's interviewing him, and he's basically promoting Deck the Halls, and... Oh, you just feel bad that somebody's promoting a movie that's clearly not very good.
I get the fact you're going to have stupid holiday movies every year.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's part of the whole families need something to see when they go out to the theater.
Yeah.
I have no problem starring in them, making them, promoting them, but you can't pretend it's anything other than this is this year's holiday slot entrant.
Yep. Aragon. Piece of crap. Oh, but it's already made like $40 million.
Well, the marketing on that's just nauseating because it's like purchasing Fox shows and this little stupid dragon head comes into the corner of the screen. You're trying to watch a football game and like the dragon comes in and bites an egg or whatever the hell it is, and there's a flash of light and it goes away. And my wife's like, "What's that?"
Jesus.
And I'm like, "It's Aragon."
The Holiday. That's that Jack Black thing. Apocalypto made it's up to $30 million. United 93 made 30 million. I don't know how much they spent on it.
That's pulling in some awards. Yeah, end of the year awards. And Jeffrey Wells is clearly very bitter that he's convinced, you know, that it's not going to get nominated for an Oscar. And
why is it? What does he mean by that?
Because it sounds like the members of the Academy didn't see it and have no interest in seeing it. They don't want to relive September 11th. They don't want to.
Could be, but a lot of end of the year review. I mean, the two big surprising ones that are getting a lot are Borat and United 93, so I'm not convinced
I think he's more plugged into that world than we are.
Yeah, you're right. Employee of the Month.
Oh, that's the Dane Cook one.
Ugh. Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties. Huge tank. The first one didn't do that well.
I can't imagine they spent... I mean, the most money in this movie went to Bill Murray, and even then, I can't imagine it was that much.
I don't know, but I'll bet you they spent $70 million on that movie.
There's no way they spent $70 million on Garfield.
The Nativity Story, it's actually made $30 million. I don't know how much they spent on it, but altogether, I'm sure they were hoping it would be another Christ the Passion, Passion of Christ, but I'm sure it's going to top out at like $40 million, and it will make money for the next 20 years.
Yep.
So I'm sure they're pretty happy on it. The Ant Bully, wow, that really tanked. Warner Brothers, it only made $28 million.
Hey,
wow.
You know what that was? Another animated movie with animals.
That nobody gives a crap about. Crank? Is that like about meth that was or something? Jason Statham. Oh, yeah, he's on. Yeah, if he slows down his adrenaline, he'll die. Okay. Stick It. That's the
gymnastics
the Bring movie. It On version of, or gymnastics version of Bring It On. The Queen is plugging in. It's made... Wow, The Queen's already made $25 million.
Everyone assumes Helen Mirren has locked up Best Actress for that.
And by all accounts, it's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, because it's a great movie, like somebody playing Tony Blair, and it's like weird. I'm looking forward to seeing it. The Descent. I'm kind of ticked off about this, because I've heard this is a great movie. Mm-hmm. And I've heard snippets, and it killed me, because some people gave some stuff away. But the new ads... clearly give away everything. They're showing this movie, apparently they're going down in this cave and it takes you a long time to realize there's somebody chasing them, and then much later at the end you realize it's a bunch of these monsters. The ads show them all.
Wait a minute, the fact that there's something chasing them was supposed to be a secret?
No, the fact that what it is and what's going on, because of the way they're doing this movie, you're not really sure what it is, and you don't realize it's these blood and ultimately, you don't realize, from what I understand, it's a big surprise that there's a lot of them. You think it's one. Well, this new ad, the first thing in there is they show them all. There's no surprise, no reveal. They're literally showing all of them. It makes me so mad. Thank You for Smoking, number 92, made $25 million. That movie cost, I think, about $7 million to make, so they've got to be happy with that. Jet Li's Fearless made $25 million.
That looked interesting. I would see that on DVD. I almost saw it in the theater.
What's the story with this being his last?
It's his last martial arts epic.
So he's just decided not to make him anymore?
I guess. I'm sure it's funny. He's actually pretty old.
He's actually in his mid 40s. Clerks 2.
Yay!
Made $25 million. Inconvenient Truth is number 95.
I'll put.
I thought it was interesting in the theater or in the Storyist. I saw it and it's not a plastic case; it's a cardboard case for that movie because he doesn't want to, you know, ruin the environment. I thought good for him. I completely avoided that movie because I just did not want to be depressed.
I know.
I saw him in downtown Seattle doing the presentation, and I was completely depressed. Completely. Wicker Man. This is that horrible remake. And it's directed by Neil LaBute, who is a brilliant director. Was it Neil LaBute?
I don't know.
It was it Neil LaBute? It was Neil LaBute. LaBute, and apparently it was just terrible. It takes place on an unidentified island in the San Juans where there's a cult. So it's like right near us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's supposed to take place on effectively San Juan Island.
Filmed on Vancouver Island.
Yeah. The Covenant. What was that?
That was a vampire teen. I remember the commercial. There was a Mustang that split apart and reassembled.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, Stay Alive. What the hell was that?
Hold on, Stay Alive. Because I've known all of these. Stay Alive.
Yeah, I don't know Stay Alive.
All right, I'm blanking on that one.
Okay, Black Dahlia. That was the
high hopes for the Brian De Palma.
Yeah, did tanked $22 million, and then the final number 100. My Super Ex-Girlfriend, Ivan Reitman, which has got to be painful because they probably spent $90 million on this, and his son's movie, they spent $7 million.
I don't know, 90? I mean, you've got Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson. Those are stars, but they're not huge stars.
Okay, let's see what it says here. Hopefully it won't screw up on it. We'll find out how much they claim they spent.
So I'm surprised how few of those movies in the top 100 I would list as one of my favorites.
Well, what are some of your favorites?
Well, like Clerks 2, Inside Man,
yep.
Cars. I mean, there were films I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, yeah, like I can last year, you know, The Constant Gardener or Serenity.
Yeah.
According
to this,
I guess Superman this year would be another one.
Let's see. Oh, they don't have production costs here. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have a production budget. I don't know. You're right. It probably didn't cost that much money. Several effects.
Yeah.
I can't even, honestly can't even think about the favorite movies. I, to some extent, I wait for award seasons to remind me of movies I really liked. I definitely, walking out of the theater, thought, thank you for smoking. I walked out of the theater going, wow, that was a great movie. I remember walking out of Little Miss Sunshine thinking that was a great
Little
movie.
Yeah, Little Miss Sunshine. Good.
Borat, thinking that was a great movie. It's funny. Some of my best, the movies I thought were the best this year were comedies. And that's not typical. For me, so I it was a good year for comedy. It'd be interesting to see if what they're sort of thinking might happen if Sacha Cohen gets nominated for an Oscar.
Having not seen all of the serious Best Picture contenders, I haven't seen Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen
The Queen,
The King of Scotland.
Yep.
I would say United 93 would probably be the best serious picture.
Yeah, I have to think about that, but I definitely agree with you.
I remember I saw that the day before I got on a plane for Hawaii, so that was...
That must have been fun.
It was interesting.
Yeah, I always remember, I think, did I see that with you? Or
no.
Did I? Okay, so we saw it. I thought it was funny. They basically, to some extent, they made this decision to not show any trailers because I think it was like this somber thing and they didn't want to look like it was entertainment.
What do you mean show trailers? I saw trailers.
Where I saw it, they showed no trailers. But they still...
I'm sorry. Trailers in front of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they still showed ads in front of the movie, which I thought was funny because it's like, what's the point if you're going to do that? But anyway, so we have gone down the entire list. The lowest...
Well, we've gone down the list of the top 100. 100. I don't think there's a need to go any further.
No, and number 100 still made $22 million, which is interesting because some of these ones at the very end of the list... They're actually pretty profitable. Thank You for Smoking. I'm sure they were really happy with that. And some of them, I'm sure they were pained, even in the top 10. Even Superman, I'm sure they were going, oh, I mean, they're just barely thankful it made $200 million.
So we might actually see a movie tonight.
Yeah, what do you think about seeing?
Maybe For Your Consideration. Because we're going to go downtown and try and have a nice dinner. I don't know how feasible that is on Christmas Eve and see about reservations and whatnot.
We might go see Rocky Balboa.
There's that. She wants to see The Pursuit of Happiness.
Whoa, check out this catch.
That was a nice diving catch.
It was sweet. Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness also looks good.
I'll see it, but it's just...
Chick flicky.
Well, it's not that.
You've seen it before?
You know, I don't want to get down. It's based on real life events. I'm sure it's a very moving story. I'm really happy this guy had the internal strength to do what he did with a kid that must have been... I don't think I could do that. Honestly don't. I think that's an incredible story. And yet, if I'm going to because there's so few movies I get to see nowadays, I'm fine seeing that one on DVD. If I'm going to see it in the theater, I want to see something else.
I saw this YouTube clip last week where they're interviewing the real guy, and it was like some interview they did with him like 5 years ago. And he's in the back of a cab, and he's talking about how tough it is to get a cab sometimes. And he was talking about one time when he saw cabs, and he was going, it's incredible. They're literally saying they would rather not make any money than pick me up. And he was saying how frustrated he was one time because he had checks for him, literally profit for him that he had just made on some sales of $250,000 sitting in his pocket. And some cab guy pulls up and is not going to pick him up. And you know, he's not especially angry. He's angry, but he's just pointing out how ridiculous life is when you are completely reduced to color your skin. And apparently the movie doesn't delve into that kind of stuff very much, but it was interesting. He seemed like a very fascinating person, and watching that interview, I could see totally why somebody would want to make a story about this guy, because he's one of those complete people that you're going, I want to learn more about him. So
anyway, but the one I really want to see opening tomorrow, Children of Men, I don't think I can convince my wife to see.
Wow, could you get better reviews for a movie? I mean, early lead reviews are just saying it's stunning.
It really looks compelling.
What's so funny about it?
I've really grown to love Clive Owen. I really have.
I'm sure I had heard about this movie, but what's so funny about it is when I saw the preview last week, I'm going, what the hell is this? I was like, I had no clue. And then yesterday I realized it was like this P.D. James novel, and I had no idea this movie was even being made at all. And the reviews, at first I thought it was like a Danny Boyle movie. But the reviews I've been seeing are saying there's a number of people that have said it's the best movie of the year. So I'm like, yeah, I exactly want to see this. Although it kind of made me mad. The trailer, literally, it's one of those trailers that tells you the entire story of the movie.
Just about.
Not necessary. Didn't have to do that.
And the other one that's opening that she wants to see is A Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
And to me, Again, to me, it's a DVD. It's not, if I'm going to take the time to see something in a theater, either A, want to be rewarding the filmmakers, like, for your consideration. Because it's not going to be a huge blockbuster.
Yep.
So I want to encourage Christopher Guest.
Yeah,
and
keep
his
making
movies.
Those movies.
You know? So that's something I'd see in the movie. Or something of a vaguely spectacle nature, like Children of Men, which has, this dystopian, cinematography, which looks amazing.
Yeah.
I want to see that in a theater. It won't kill me if I don't see it in a theater, but I'd much rather spend my theater time on that than Night at the Museum.
Yep.
So that's sort of where we're at.
Yep. Yep.
All right. We, sir, are done.
We are.
There was email to the email address this week, but I failed to write down what it was. I saw that it was there, so I apologize. We will get to that next week.
Sweet.
I guess that's it.
That is it.
Thank you for listening. Our email address is youguysrock@mustardayonnaise.com.
That's right.
We are really, we're part of Web 2.0, and if you would like to buy us out,
that's right.
You guys rock at mustardayonnaise.com.
Au revoir.
I'm Matt.
I'm Richard.
I'm Matt. Bye.